Blog Talk Radio.
I want you to help me welcome Nicole Binion tonight. Come on.
My Savior's veins, still Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome, welcome, welcome to your 56. And I am still your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. What a beautiful day that God has given us. The sun is shining, the birds are still singing, and we are still living. Amen. Glory to God. Any day above the dirt is a good day. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to open up with a word of prayer. And before I get into the word, I'm going to get into Thus Saith the Lord on this evening, right before the show began. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you for your outstanding ways of life. We thank you for your outstanding word. We thank you for your outreached hands. We thank you for Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross, that we shall not die but have everlasting life, that he has cleansed us of our sins. He has cleansed us of our negative way of thinking. He has cleansed us so we can be closer to you. So, Father God, we ask you to bless our family members. We ask you to bless our friends. We ask you to bless those that are suffering all over the world, those that are homeless, those that are hungry, those that are reaching out for you, God. Send someone their way, God, to tell them of the goodness of the Lord and that you are still real. Show them with a miraculous miracle on today, God. Blow through this earth, God. Touch the leaders of each and every country. Touch the hearts of your people, Father, and turn us from our wicked ways. God, we love you. We need you. And we most of all have to have you in this day and time. Touch us, Father, where we need to be touched. Fill us with the Holy Ghost, Father, in the name of Jesus. Return your people back to you, God, in the name of Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We glorify you on this day. We have said amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you. We thank you once again, Father God, for being our Father. Amen. Hallelujah. I was preparing for the show, and God has given me information, and I took down the information. I was actually sitting here. I was a little early, and I was drinking a nice cup of coffee, and I was just sitting here listening to the Gospels and, you know, continuously keeping my spirit in the right place and my mind in the right place. And I heard God say, stop worrying about the deserters and get back on the battlefield. Now, I don't know who he was talking about. And the way it was explained to me, and, you know, because I meditate and I sit and I vision and I feel God talking to me, it's not the things that we say. Yeah, we say we love the Lord and we say we for God and we say that we're the leaders of the church. We say that we're the leaders of the community. But God says our hearts has deserted him and he need our heart to get back on the battlefield. In other words, when things got bad, we forgot in our heart that God brought us out of those situations before. We have to go back and search our hearts when we were sick. Who healed us? We had to search our hearts when we were brokenhearted. Who fixed the broken heart? When we was hungry, who fed us? We had to go back and search our hearts before we were saved. Who brought us out of that dark place and filled that darkness in our heart? We done got to a place that we'll give God lip service, but we're not loving the Lord with our heart. And the heart, we're going to discuss that tonight. The heart plays a big part in our relationship with God. Amen. And I took that personal. I really took that. It says, stop worrying about the deserters. Let them desert. Let them be deserters. But God said, for us, whoever they may be, I'm taking it towards me too, to get back on the battlefield, no matter what your situation may look like now. God brought us up in the army for a reason. We done went through the trials and tribulations, and they're going to come daily, and we're going to still have to go through trials and tribulations. But if God has brought you through in the past, don't you know he'll bring us through now? This is a trusting season. This is truly a faith walk time. This is the time that our hearts have to be lined up still with God, weeping and crying and reaching out. We can't see. We can say, oh, I love the Lord and I'm going to do this. But our heart is saying, well, tomorrow I got to do this. I can't wait. You know, I don't get no money. I ain't got no check. I don't have a job. I'm going to have to go out and do this. So God is monitoring our hearts. Forget about those who deserted him. And for us to get back on the battlefield. Amen. And like I said earlier, we're going to talk about the heart on this evening. Amen. And I'm just going to quickly, if you allow me to, read a few scriptures pertaining to the heart, and we're going to go right into our lesson. And I'm just going to read five, and I'm going to come off the book of Matthew, because there's many scriptures pertaining to the heart. Amen. But I ask God just to give me a few, because we are time consuming at this point. But this ministry is going to grow. Amen. We will grow into more than an hour. We will grow. Amen. Because God has big plans for MCI Ministry Radio. And we want to thank all our listeners and supporters and all those who continuously get fed and all those who continue to trust and believe the Lord. Believe me, God loves you and God is still on our side. Amen. And the first scripture I want to go to is the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 8. And I'm going to try to go through them, and I'm going to give you the scriptures. Amen. If you can go back through them on your own. But chapter 5, verse 8 in the book of Matthew say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's get back to purifying our heart with the word, with the songs of ministry, with peaceful thoughts, with loving and caring thoughts. Amen. I don't want to get into the elaboration of it. Amen. Glory to God. But this thing is really strong right now. Now, amen, at this day and time. Chapter 6, verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. There will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. That is not me. That is the book of God. Hallelujah. That is the word of God. That is the book of Matthew, the word of God. Amen, glory to God, hallelujah. Chapter 15, amen, verse 17. Says, do not ye yet understand that whosoever, I got the wrong one. I'm so sorry. Amen. Verse 19, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Listen, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornicators, theft, false witnesses, and blasphemy. We can go on that alone. Because you know a person a person who plans a bank robbery, they sit back, get a blueprint, they watch the bank, they watch the guards, they go inside, see how many cameras they got, they try to figure out how many people they can help with the bank robbery. But because our heart is so wicked, those things that is not of God, it shall not prosper. It shall not manifest in anything good, because all the planning that a bank robber goes through, he always misses something. It is always something. But see, God, if we allow God to lead our hearts and purify our hearts, those kind of thoughts won't even come to your mind. When I'm down, I won't be thinking about going out harming somebody. Amen. When I'm not feeling good, or if I'm lacking something, if I'm mad at somebody, my heart would not allow me to think of killing and taking the life of another man or woman if it is consoled by the loving words of God. If I let the loving words of God massage my heart, those thoughts don't even come to my mind. Amen. And the last one for this is chapter 22, verse 37. Amen. It's just something to think about. Like, we got to get our hearts lined up with God. We can't continue to get God lip service, but our hearts is still saying, yeah, whatever. I'm going to do what I want to do. Right now, just the way this world is, I don't know how much time. We let people fool us and manipulate us. Trust in God. We got to go back to that scripture. The book of Proverbs, trust in God. We got to go back to that. Chapter 22. Verse 37, and it reads as such, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. They come together. That is a trinity, mind, heart, and soul. We got to get back to that place that God can trust our heart. See, that's one of the reasons things is not happening in our life. We think we can fool God by saying this, and I'm going to do this, and we know we say a little prayer and we do this. God still monitors our heart. Your heart is the thing that keeps us alive, the blood that runs through our heart. That what pumps life back into us. It also pumps spiritual life into you, because guess what? If it's not lined up with the will of God, it starts decaying. And what I mean by that, we start having wicked thoughts. We start having wicked behaviors. We start coming out of the will of God. We start doing what we want to do and not what God designed us to do. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll be coming from the book of Jeremiah. Amen. Amen. I promise you, I'm going to, praise God, I'm going to give this the right way, the way God has given it to me. Amen. It is the word of God. Amen. We'll be coming from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. And I'm just going to read from verse 5 through 10. Amen. And when you have it, please say amen. I don't want to leave anyone behind, and I don't want to move above. I don't want to move before God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's such a, I just love this studio. And anybody that ever worked in this studio, everybody ever gave a lesson in this studio, preached in this studio, I don't know about you, but I always get this feeling of someone is just sitting next to me, watching me, not in a bad way, but just watching me in a sense of, you ever go have a show, or you ever been in a talent show in school, or you ever did something and your parents were in the audience and they was watching you, and they had this look that when you looked at them, you knew they were so proud of you. You knew that they loved you. They was proud to be there, proud to say that you were their child. Well, that's how I feel right now. I just believe God has said, I am proud that you're my son with all your faults. See, we're going to get, oh my God. See, we got to remember, God already knew we had faults. He already knew we had flaws. The thing is, we have to repent and leave those things behind us. We have to continue to move forward. See, it's easy to be a deserter. It's easy to say, well, I'm just tired of all this. I can't get it right anyway. I'm tired of people saying I can't do it. I'm tired of people saying this. This ain't for me. The devil is a liar. It is for you. Even in the midst of your ups and downs, your trials and tribulations, your backsliding, you're falling down, you're getting back up, stand. Amen? Stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to his magnificent name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched, shall inhabit the parched places, not just the parched place, but the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots. Her, the Lord loves you, ladies. Her, God always say her to the good thing. Y'all are such treasures, such queens. Her, y'all are such blessings to mankind. Her, y'all are such blessings to the home. Her, y'all are such blessings to the ministry. Her, y'all are such blessings to the kids. Her, y'all are blessings. Y'all are treasures. Y'all are queens. And never let nobody treat you or tell you different. Amen. Spreadeth out her roots by the river. He compared you to, listen. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her wings by the river, and shall not see when cometh. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in these in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Question says, who can know it? Hallelujah. Who can know it? You know, I think of women when they have babies, and as soon as the baby is born and the nurse allows the baby to rest on the mother's chest, and the love that the mother expresses through her eyes and the love that the baby gives back by crying. You done carried this baby. It's been a part of you for the last 9 months. Now it's on the outside, and you're looking at each other eye to eye. You're feeling each other flesh to flesh, and the love that you're transferring to that baby. And then the father is sitting there enjoying the love. There's a thing in our hearts, compassion. Compassion. We have to have compassion for one another. There's no time to start hating each other, disliking each other. There's no more time for that. God is sifting, I hope I'm saying this word, shifting, you know how you put the sugar in the shifting, is that the right? Shifting, swifting through the people. And he's clearing out the deserters. And he's clearing out the doubters. And he's clearing out the manipulators and those who try to think they're God themselves. And he's going to raise up his people. His army is being raised. He's checking the hearts. Amen. Now, what we just read, Jeremiah makes a strong case against trusting men instead of God. We got to remember, we cannot trust man. I don't care how much your husband woo you and love you and cook for you and rub your feet and run back. Yeah, there's a good thing to love him to a point, and you can trust him to a point. But do not put man before God. In fact, Jeremiah says, not only should we not substitute other people's advice for God's advice, we shouldn't even trust our own advice. How many of us can relate to that? Say amen. Come on now, tell the truth. When you start trusting your own advice, well, I'm going to speak for me, boy, because there's been many times I should have never trusted nothing I thought. Amen. I thought of some, boy, listen here. Thank you, Jesus, for keeping me in your perfect peace. His argument is that the heart is so deceitful and wicked, since the concept of the heart is central to this important argument, and since the heart is referred to throughout scriptures, and like I said that earlier, throughout scripture, but we didn't get to all of them, we must try to understand what Jeremiah and others are talking about when they refer to the heart. And tonight we're going to talk about how the heart refers to the mental process, how the heart refers to our emotions, and how the heart refers to the violational center. And what I mean by that, the way we allow our heart to violate and do things that's not of God, amen, and how the heart is a place we communicate with God, amen, hallelujah. If you hold on to me, I'll take you there, and if you hold on to God, he'll plant you there, amen, hallelujah, glory to his name. Yes. The heart refers to the mental process. Solomon urges his son to apply his heart to understanding as an essential step in gaining wisdom. And I'm going to back that up. We're going to go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, verse 2. Amen. I don't want you to think that I'm going to just give you something and just leave you hanging believing that. I want to be able to back it up. And then, if you trust the word of God and the word of God minister to let the word of God minister to your spirit. Amen. Book of Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2, say, my son, I'm going to start at verse 1. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandment with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. We got to Okay, let's go over to chapter 4, verse 4. I'm just going to keep it going since we're in the book of Proverbs. I just want to keep it going because this is the word of God. He's instructing us and giving us an understanding of how our heart behaves and how it could be easily manipulated and how our heart can even fool us. And we can allow our hearts to con our minds, and our minds can con our tongue. And before we know, we're all confused and messed up. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. See, we got to keep the commandments in our heart. We can say, yeah, we can know them, and we don't know all of them. We can always quote them 10 commandments, and we can always say this, but are we keeping it in our hearts? Amen. Because in Proverbs he wrote that his father, amen, taught me and said, let thine heart retain my words. And in the book of Psalms, let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 19. Hallelujah. I just want to keep this pace going because I want us to understand that this is the word of God being taught to us on this evening. In the book of Psalms, chapter 19, verses 14. Amen. Hallelujah. Just bear with me. I'm going to go there with you. because I ain't going to leave you there by yourself, and I ain't going to go by myself. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to your magnificent name, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Chapter 19. Whew. Verse 14. We got a little hot in here. Hallelujah. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That tells me I have to trust, and I say I believe in the word of God. If my, see, my heart is my representation to God. I don't, sometimes I don't, you know, I try to get past the point of giving lip service to God now. Lord, search my heart on a daily basis. When I wake up, what am I really feeling in my heart? Because I can get up and say a prayer, but heart, do my heart line up with what my mouth is saying? Do my heart line up with my behavior, Lord? Is my heart lined up with you on today, Lord? Because I want to wake up in a joyful mood, even though I might have had a bad night or a bad day. But I want my heart to be right with God, because I want him to be able to hear me. And because I can't receive, thus says the Lord, if my heart is not in the right place. If my heart is filled with anger right now, if my heart is filled with confusion, I'm not hearing anything. I'm not even trying to get in God's presence. So my heart has to be in a place with God. Amen. David prayed, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. So the mental process of acquiring or laying hold of words is done with the heart. The discerning mental process of understanding words is a function of the heart. Musing or meditating on what information means is done in the heart. And wisdom is located in the heart. Jeremiah was serving a warning that the mind can deceive and must be carefully monitored. Hallelujah. Did you get it? Our hearts must be carefully monitored. Even the people, you ever see people, they meet somebody and they just, they can't stop calling. They got the timing, chat, and all them other things with them. They just spend so much time in and let their heart gets totally in parts with this person that they done forgot about everything else. Because the heart, ooh, that thing, when that thing get broken, people get evil. Oh, but when it's filled with joy. And I'm talking about before the Lord's joy. I'm talking about just another person. You get that raise on a job. Oh, you done jumped up, flip-flopped, and did everything. But you forgot to say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, because of you, this promotion is manifested itself at this day and time. I thank you for trusting in me. See, the reason God trusted in you because he knew your heart was in the right place. I can't put my wife before Jesus. I can't put my job before Jesus. I can't put my cameras, my photography, whatever I like. I can't put nothing. I might like what I like, but nothing goes before the Lord. Because without God, I am nothing. I am just a vessel walking this earth, confused, knowing not what I do. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. The heart refers to the emotions. In Proverbs 3:3, Solomon wrote, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, right? It says, write them upon the table of thine heart. That's where these vital emotions are stored. In Psalms, go to Psalms 119. Verses 10 through and 11. And I'm going to tell you what David wrote. And when you get to say amen, hallelujah, I don't want to move too fast. I don't want to leave nobody on the bus stop. I don't want to leave and not let your Uber pick you up and take you where you're supposed to go. I want to make sure you got enough tokens, the right transpass, and we're moving together. Amen. Because David wrote, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Woo! That's me right there. I've hid your word in my heart, Father, so I will not sin against thee. This passionate statement to God gives us a glimpse of David's heart. In fact, when David did violate his relationship with God and pour out his confessions and repentance, he offered God a broken and contrite heart. And we're going to get there. And contrite means caused by or showing sincere remorse, filled with a sense of guilt and a desire for an atonement. He was sincerely repenting. Amen. Sincerely. Hallelujah. The book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 17. Please go there with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I should have said we're going to jump around a few spots, but I'm going to go with you. I hope you go with me. Hold my hand and I'll hold your hand. Pray for me and I'll pray for you that we get through this valley of the shadow of death and we will fear no evil going through it. Our hearts will line up in one accord. We will praise and worship God together. We will praise for each other and we will thank God to bring us all through. Because when this epidemic is over, we have no excuses not to have spent time with God. This is one of the things. See, God put us in a position that we have to cry out to the source. Yeah, we can look at each other for a while and be, well, I ain't got to go to work. Oh, I'm going to get free money. Oh, I ain't got. But listen, it's not about that. It's about being prepared for when the gates open and when the world opens back up. What has we done? What time has we spent with God to be different than the world? Because now the world is going to really need a compassionate heart. It's going to really need someone can stand on the word of God. It's going to really need somebody walking in faith. It's going to really need prayer warriors, intercession warriors. It's going to really need a new beginning. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Glory to your name. Psalms 51:17. So love is a matter of the heart. Amen. Passionate expressions of devotion and contentment are heart issues. Deep sorrow, repentance, and contrite, amen, are processed in the heart. Jeremiah was warning his readers that the heart, including the emotional process, is deceitful and cannot be fully trusted. All that we've read, those scriptures, Jeremiah is reminding us. He is reminding us and warning us that our heart, including the emotional process, that emotional part. Whoo, ladies, I'm throwing that one at y'all. Sometimes that emotional part. That emotional part, that emotional process is deceitful. It is, and it cannot be fully trusted or understood. And I understand that because sometimes emotionally we make bad rational decisions because we're acting off emotions and we're not trusting the God in us. You ever see a stalker? That's an emotional process. I've seen you. You belong to me. I got to have you. If I don't have you, no one will have you. I'll kill you and then kill myself. That is an emotional disaster. That is emotional suicide. That is someone that is not operating with a contrite heart. Hallelujah. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. You get fixated on movie stars and celebrities, and you get fixated on the person at your job. You get so fixated on them, you're not thinking about God. You probably don't even know God because your fixation, that emotional disaster that we're call our heart at that moment, it's in confusion. Your heart is bipolar. Your heart is up and down. Your heart is bipolar at this point. Hallelujah. The heart is the volitional center. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5, that urges us to trust in. Y'all know the scripture. It urges us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Amen. And that choice is to trust is made and sustained in the heart. Because in the book of Genesis, chapter 8, verse 21. Write it down if you can't get there before me or with me. Genesis 8:21. God said that the imagination of a man's heart is evil. The imagination of a man's heart is evil. You're sitting there imagining yourself with someone else's wife. You're sitting there imagining how I'm going to break into this bank and steal all their money. I'm going to break into someone's home and rob them. The imagination is wicked. It is evil. The imagination of a man's heart is evil. The word translated imagination also means intention and refers to man's volitional desires and his choices. So when a man decides to trust or has intentions or imaginations, the heart is not at work. When I'm going on my own thinking pattern, my heart is not at work. When I'm sitting back and imagining how I'm going to jump through the roof, bust you in the head with a bat, steal all your goods, run out, jump in my car, go sell it to the pawn shop, do whatever I'm going to do with the money, sit back and plot that plot all over again. My heart is not in it. That is a wicked, wicked, warped out thought pattern, and God is not in that. When we see people talking to themselves, pray that their hearts start lining up with the will of God. When we see people that we know are not living right, let's pray that their heart line up with the will of God. Let's pray that we can get our heartbeat as one. One heartbeat in harmony with God, that we're praising God with a righteous heart, that we're saying and speaking of the word of God, and our hearts are lined up with the words that we're speaking. In other words, our lifestyle is representing the heartbeat. I need you to see me and know that you can trust me because I gave you my word. I need you to see me and know that if I said I'll be there at 6 o'clock, I'm there. I'm trustworthy. I'm not double-minded. I'm not double-minded. I am allowing God to fix my heart where it's chipped up, broke up, where it's messed up. I give you permission, Lord, on this day, at this time, to come into my heart and take out everything that's not like you. We say that on a daily basis. We say that in prayer. We say that in church. We say that when we sin. We have to mean it now. If we're going to give God permission to go fix our heart, let him fix it. Don't tell, or leave that right there because I might need that. I might not always want to be saved. I might change my mind. You know how they get on my nerves. Let me go through this slowly, Lord. Let me pace this. Let me take steps by step. It's no time to be a baby no more. Baby steps, no. We are grown folk walking in a real world, walking with real situations. People are dying waiting for us to take the steps. Lord, fix my heart so I'll be right with you so you can use me to do what you want me to do. Hallelujah. 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 The heart is the place we communicate with God. An example of this fourth element, because I'm going down the line, amen. I wrote down four things. I don't like to use the word element, but I just try to speak in a way now when I'm in a teaching spirit that I use proper English. I can't always, you know, speak slang, and I can't always, because I want people to understand this is still unto God, and it still has to be done in decent and in order. There's going to be times when I can use a way where the world understands me, but we're talking about the things of the heart right now. Amen. And it needs to be done in a manner where we can understand. Amen. So because I use the word element, I don't want no one to get upset or I'm trying to be too deep. It's just the word, amen, that I learned that will fit in my statement. So the element is defined heart. It's found in, if we go to 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. I'm going to give you a few seconds to get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, 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 yes. I probably won't play any music until the end, because I believe that God means this. In the beginning, he said, stop worrying about the deserters. We got to keep that at the forefront of our mind and get back on the battlefield within your heart. Stop telling God that we love him, but we don't act like it because we don't love our neighbor. How do we say we love God and we don't even love the person we see every day, and you've never even seen God? But you see me every day and treat me like crap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There we read that Hannah was praying in her heart. And often we read in Scripture that the heart is where we converse with God. And guess what? Understanding God. We converse with God. We understand God. Process God's word. Amen. The word translated heart in the Old Testament refers to the thinking, feeling, willing process. Amen. It is where we interact with God and process our understanding of him. Get that now. That's where we interact with God and process our understanding of him. Matter of fact, Solomon wrote a statement in regard to the heart. Keep thy heart with a diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I think that's in chapter 4, verse 23, I think that is. Amen. If I'm wrong, God forgive me. But you can go to chapter 4, verse 23, and I think that's the scripture. Amen. He describes how we do that. Matter of fact, 20 through 27, amen, verses 20 through 7, and we meditate carefully on these verses. So let's do that now, amen. Let's just do that. I'm going to make sure we're right. Hallelujah. We're going to make sure right now, because I don't want to give out no false information. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. It done got hot down here, Jesus. Help your son. Woo. Good God Almighty. Yes, Lord. And I said, what verses did I say? Samuel 1, 12 to 13. Just give me a few seconds. Amen. Pray for me. Pray for me. Don't talk about me. Pray for me. Hallelujah. Yeah. Pray for me. That's right. Hallelujah. Chapter 1, verse 12 through 13. Hallelujah. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. Ain't that something? You sit somewhere, just sitting there, and you're praying in your heart, and your lips is not moving, but you're praying in your heart, and you're connecting with the Lord, and you're praying, and in your heart, and you might be making facial expressions, and you might be raising your hand, and you might be, but you're praying in your heart. And why do people think there's something wrong with you? Why do people think you have to be drunk? Why do people, you know, we got to get to a place of not even worrying about that anymore and just do what we know we're doing and we know it's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 20 through 27 reads, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was to come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Now, this is when this is how she's dedicating Samuel. And the man Echonai and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord that yearly sacrifice in his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Achanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah and four and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord and Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given my petition, which I have asked him. Order. Order. She didn't worry about what her husband said. She didn't worry about what nobody else was telling her to do, what not to do. Her husband said, do what you must. Do what your heart is telling you to do. Because she knew that her child meant so much to her, that her relation, her child, she wanted her child to have a commune and a connection with God, such as herself. Amen. We got to remember when we start praying for our children and our grandchildren, we got to start praying from our heart. There's a compassion, especially grandmothers and grandfathers and mothers too. There's a compassion in your heart when it comes to your grandkids. And that compassion that God put there, that is the compassion we should be praying for, praying with for our grandchildren, praying with for our neighbor, praying with that same compassion for our enemy. Praying with that same compassion for the person who just lied on you, just talked about you, been backstabbing you ever since they knew you, been laughing in your face and stabbing you behind your back. That is the compassion that God is waiting to show. So what? You still have the compassion for my people. You still have compassion for that soul. I can use you. Amen. I can still use you. The heart is the place we communicate with God, and we can't forget that. Amen. Jeremiah warned us, thing he called the heart is deceitful and beyond human understanding. This becomes a great problem when we understand what the heart is and what the heart does. That's why Jeremiah included the truth contained in verse 10. Only God can help you with your heart. Guard it. Protect it. Give it to God. Keep it in his care. It is the source from which your most foundational issues flow. It is the place where our deepest things, our deepest thoughts, our deepest love, our deepest compassions, our mental compassion, our emotions, our state of mind, if all those things flow from the heart. We got to remember how wicked that heart is on a daily basis. I need God to go in mine with a microscope, telescope. Go in there like the forensic files, and find the evidence of the things that's not supposed to be there and get rid of them. Give God permission to go in there and find the evidence, not just the thing, but the evidence of the thing that's not like him, and allow him to remove it. We want to start to keep little things there. It's tainting your heart. It's tainting the way we think. It's tainting the way we speak. It's tainting the way we behave at certain times. It's tainting the way we do the things we do. Let's look at the world right now. Look at our leaders. Greed. No compassion. Not knowing. Lack of wisdom. Lack of evidence. Lack of love. Excuse me. For the people. It's a lack. The heart is not operating in the right way. Because if our leaders' hearts was operating the right way, we would have compassion for those who lost their homes in all these fires, those who lost their homes and family members in all these storms, those who lost their loved ones in this COVID-19 virus, those who lost their jobs and don't have food. How can you tell me that you're going to tell a person you're going to kick them out and make sure that is not of God. Love thy neighbor like thy love thyself. You sitting up there in your big house, you're not starving. You're making all the bills and all the things. You're not lacking, but you are lacking. You're lacking the heart of God. And that's worse than starving a fool. That's worse than losing your home, your house, your wife, your son, and everything else. Because your heart is not right. And you won't even take the time to go to God and say, Lord, fix me. Because you put me in a position of leadership. You put me in a position over millions and millions of people. You put me in a position to make decisions. And I can't make the right decisions if my heart is not lined up with you. Lord, show me. I am a sinner. I am a loser. I don't know. I'm new to this. I've been doing these things, making decisions and deals with the world, with man all my life. Now I need to come to you and make a deal with you. If you show my heart and show me how to have a compassionate heart for your people and keep me in position to do the right things, then I will do them. I'm tired of doing them with a wicked heart. I'm tired of doing it with a nasty attitude. I'm tired of deceiving, saying one thing, doing another. I'm tired of having two faces. I'm tired of having such a wicked, sharp tongue, knowing that I'm not telling the truth. We got to get to a place of understanding how wicked our hearts can get, how wicked our minds and imagination can get. And when we're in positions of greed, we're in positions anger and rage. We're in positions of nastiness. We're not where God wants us to be. We're not operating in God's spirit. We have leaders leading countries all over the world. How many seek God for advice? So I'm petitioning tonight that we pray for the leaders of this world, that God change their heart and put their heart in the right place. Put their heart in God's hand. Let God mold their heart. I'm petitioning every listener, every saint, every person that knows somebody who prays to come together on a daily basis. And in your prayer time, let's pray for the hearts of the leaders, that their hearts be fixed, be renewed like Christ-like, that their minds be renewed Christ-like, that their decisions be made for the people that God had put on this earth to live more abundantly, to live, not to lack, not to borrow, not to suffer, not to cry on a daily basis, not to worry on a daily basis, not to allow their minds to go to a place where they have to go into the store to steal just to feed their families, to come up with ideas how to just go up and down the streets and break into other people's things because I have a need. My family has a need. Okay, your family has a need. Let us get together and make God our need. This country. The country needs God. The leadership of the country need God. The people need God. We need God to be our red, white, and blue. We need God to be the thing that we salute when we get up in the morning. We need God to be the one that we salute before we go to bed at night. We need God to be the author and finisher of our life. We need God to be the original commander in chief. So I'm petitioning that we pray that the leaders' hearts be changed into the hearts of the Lord, that they line up with the will of the Lord. And those who don't know God, that we can pray that someone in that place can lead them to Christ, that the Lord can move supernaturally and put someone in their way that they will listen to. See, we get these government jobs and these high-rising jobs. They're not just jobs with positions and titles. We're still ministry. How many people work with people you know they ain't saved? You ain't ministered to them, ain't attempted to minister to them, ain't said nothing about the Lord since you've been around them. You just happy to be around people of stature. You just happy to get another couple of dollars on your check. You just happy to get a raise, happy to get a badge on your chest. But is God happy with your behavior? Is God happy with the way you're operating from your heart, from our hearts? Is God really pleased with us? When he opened doors for us to go in and do the work, and we just go in and shed it? Is God really happy with our hearts on today? Even in the midst of a coronavirus, a COVID-19, whatever they call these things, even in the midst of that, my God is more powerful than anything, any disease, anything. I don't fear that. I fear not doing what God told me to do. I fear not having my heart lined up with God, being who he called me to do, be from the beginning of time. Yes, we fall. Yes, we have situations. Yes, we backslide. Yes, but when we get up, stand up, fight for the right to serve the Lord. We got to fight for what's right. There's no more time to be around people that you know are doing wrong and don't try to say nothing about it. I'm not compromising. I'm not partaking in anyone else's sin. I'm sorry. I've done lied, deceived, sinned all the days, all them times I've done it, whenever it was, how many years it was, whatever, because God has woken me up. He has touched my heart. And he is tired of my lip service. And he's watching and testing my heart on a daily basis. And I refuse, and I refuse, and I refuse, and I refuse to disappoint my Father, who raised me from the dead multiple times, who kept me from danger seen and unseen multiple times, who loved me when I couldn't love myself and didn't know how to love myself. He turned my tears into joy, turned my sadness into laughter, turned my peace, turned my disarray into peace of mind. He loves me. He treasures me. He raised me. I am not going back. My heart is my representation. My heart is my badge of honor unto God. So on this day, I trust and believe that we have been informed and we are accountable for what we know. Our people perish for lack of knowledge. So right now, there's something new we all just learned on today. So we're accountable when we know our imagination is not lined up with God. When we know we are sitting somewhere thinking of thoughts that do not line up with God. Lord, fix my heart. I am not right. There's nothing wrong with saying, I messed up. I'm wrong. I don't know everything. Help me, Lord. I'm only human. I need you. There's nothing wrong with these things. We got to push pride to the side. We know what they say. Pride, fall comes, pride. Let me get it. Help me, Lord. Pride comes before the fall. Amen. God has kept us. Look at all the people dying around us. Some of y'all are chaplains and see people in the hospitals dying on a daily basis. Some of y'all are nurses and doctors seeing people die on a daily basis. And God is keeping us. God is keeping us. We hear it on the news. People are dying all over the world. But God is keeping us. He's given us wisdom. He's given us joy. He's given us understanding. He's trying to fix our hearts. So when he do open the doors open, and when he do decide to kill this virus, he wants us to be ready to love on everybody, because people are going to be acting plumb fools. It's going to be just like opening, I hate to say it this way, but it's going to be like opening up the zoo and tell the animals to go free. They're going to be howling, screaming, running, jumping, flipping, flopping. People are going to be coming out with babies that nobody knew had babies. Everything is still going on right now. March, April, May, June. Some people 4 and 5 months pregnant right now. Babies having babies. Because we haven't changed the heart set. We haven't changed the mindset. Even in the midst of an epidemic, we haven't changed our mindsets. We're still acting the same way, myself included. I'm trying to change. Listen. I'll be the first person to tell you, Lord, I need you. I'll be the first person to tell you that my mind is torn from the floor. I'll be the first person to say it. But I'll be the first person to tell you that I know how to seek God, too, when I know it's getting that way. See, I done went through some things. I done hurt some people. And I don't like that. That's not what God called me to do. That's not God called me to be. Because I want to do the thing that God called me to do, I got to give him the rights back to my heart. He has to have my heart, not my lip service, my heart. I want him to know that my heart is right with him, that I love his people, that I love my wife and only my wife. Well, I love other people, but I don't love them like I love my wife. I'm not in love with no other woman like I'm in love with my wife. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. I love my friends. I love my neighbors. I didn't even have a desire to love my enemies, because that's what the Bible tells me to do. I'm learning. I'm not saying, oh, I'm loving right now. You know, you try to bust me in here, yes or no. I'm saying, but my heart has to be right with God. So if God make that scenario where I have to embrace my enemy or love my, I have to do it. There's no time for people living in the house arguing with each other all the time. Somebody got to let the peace of the Lord, that prayer life. Somebody got to fast. Somebody got to say, okay, Lord, I'm going in a dungeon in a dark place, and I don't want nothing to eat. All I want to do is get you, and I want you to show me how to fix this thing, because it's you and only you that can fix this. Because, see, we done tried too many times to fix other people. It's not up to us. God don't need us to fix nobody. God can fix people all by himself. He don't need us. We need to stop trying to fix people and start fixing ourselves. Let God do the rest. See, work on ourselves first. Amen? I am so sorry. I didn't mean to hold anyone over time, but I did mean to do thus saith the Lord, and I'll never apologize for that. And before we go, I just want to thank all the listeners. I just want to thank people that have been supporting the ministry. I want to thank those who are... I've been really reaching out. We've been getting people that been having prayer requests. And I don't know if our First Lady, the one and only Dr. Carolyn McNeil, has told you, but we're going to start opening. We're going to get us a YouTube channel and go live. We're going to try to have live services Sunday. What we do everything unto the goodness of the Lord. This is not a publicity stunt. We're not trying to be movie stars. We're not trying to be celebrity pastors. But we want people to have an avenue or a door to get the word. We don't want to leave no one behind. We want to make sure if social media is the thing that's popping, the saints need to be a part of social media. Amen. When the doors open back up to the church, we need to get back into the church. We need to get back into the house of the Lord. Amen. We need to get back into the house of the Lord. We need to get back into the house of the Lord. Amen. God sent preachers to give a word, and we got to be obedient to be where the preachers are. Amen. Amen. And let's not get fooled and let the enemy say, oh, the pastor's getting rich. Because it's a bunch of hypocrites in there. That's why I don't go to church. Well, what I say to that, when you go to the strip club, there's a bunch of hypocrites in there, because when you're spending all your money and making it rain, she don't love you. That's just what she do to get your money. She's a hypocrite. When your money gone, she's gone. Amen. Hallelujah. When you go to the bar, the bartender, the barmaid will laugh at you, smile at you, and everything, but they don't give you no credit. When your money gone, you get out the door. But see, y'all let the enemy fool you and say the church people just getting your money and they're getting big houses. No, look at the pastors and the bishops and the apostles before they were blessed, before God started blessing them. Look what they used to live at. Look what they used to have to eat. People don't even know the sacrifices that leaders made to get to where they are now. It all started with the change of their hearts. God seen the change in their hearts, and he started blessing. And just like he seen the change in their hearts, he see the change in our hearts if we begin to trust him. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Amen. Once again, I just want to thank you. I want to thank First Lady who's been doing such an outstanding job in the midst of my absence. She's just been taking everything. Has been running like I've been. Nothing slowed down. Nothing stopped. I really honor her, the woman of God. I honor her as my wife, but I honor the God in her more than I honor her as my wife. Not to take nothing away from that, but there's something about a woman of God, and I'm learning this. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm learning this, and it's the men too. But it's just something. Because they're drawn to God. See, they already learned to trust God more than man. You know, some of them still running after the man. But most women, especially women after they got saved, they learn to trust God more than a man. They'll sit there, cook dinner for you, all the good things, and look right at you and say, listen here. This ain't what the Lord got for you. This is who the Lord said you was. The Lord has not put me in your life for this to happen. You know, all those things. And that's being real, man. Like, listen, I've heard the conversation, so I can speak on it. I'm not saying something that nobody told me. We got to get our hearts right. And remember, do not stop worrying about the deserters. Stop worrying about them. Let them do what they do. God put this word out today for somebody. And get back in the battlefield. Amen? So, Father God, we thank you for what you've done on this evening. We thank you and prayerfully that your word fall on fertile ground, on good ground, and that the hearts of your people change, Father. The hearts of the leaders of this country and every other country of this world change, Father. Mold their hearts into a heart of love, caring, and understanding. Mold them, God. Send someone their way to tell them about the goodness of the Lord. Open their ears to hear, thus saith the Lord. Keep them at a standstill so they can't move but have to listen. Make an example out of somebody. And change the hearts of these leaders, God. Touch the hearts of those who are saddening on the day, God. Lift them up, Father. Give them joy, Father. Give them laughter, Father. We just trust and believe that a change is going to come. We know that this is a new beginning, and it's in the process. The process of a new beginning is already here. We thank you. We glorify you. We love you, God. Oh, how we love you, Lord. Oh, how we trust and believe in you. There's none like you, God. And we thank you for keeping us in your perfect peace. We thank you for keeping us to see another day. We thank you, Father, that you do not kill us or destroy us on today. Father, we know that we are not worthy of your grace and your mercy, your love, your compassion, your joy, or your understanding. But we thank you for giving us another chance. And we will not blame nothing on you, because our decisions are our decisions. And you have given us the choice to choose death or life. Who this day shall we choose? And Father, we choose you. So touch our hearts. Minister to our hearts. Remold our hearts, God. Filter out everything that's not like you, God. And bring us back to your bosoms. We trust and believe that it's already done. And we love you. We love you. And we need you, God. Because there's none like you. Without you, God, where would we be? We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let your power fall when your name is called. Prove the doubters wrong. God, you're still mighty and strong. So fight this battle for me and help my unbelief so I can tell. that you have won again. Let your power flow. That you have won again. Anybody need the power in here?
We need it.
Come on, let your power fall. When your name is called, through the dark road. Every time they talked about me, every time they lied on me, God, you're mighty. This is what I need you to do.
Fight this battle.
Fight this battle for me. Anybody needing the price of battles in here? This is what I need you to do, Lord. I can't do it by myself.
For me.
Yeah, yes. I need you to do it. Fight this battle. That you have won again.
We won.
You have won.
Thank
you. You did it again.
Yeah.
I said you have won again.
You have won.
You brought me out so many times.
You
You're a healer.
I didn't even know how I was gonna make it, but oh,
you pulled me through.
You're a winner. Time after time, yeah. My heart could do. You're a champion. You're undefeated. You did it for me. You brought me out. You made a way.
Yes, he did.
Got you. I give you glory. I bless your name.
You give them praise.
Because you're wise. Because you're faithful. Somebody ought to give him glory.
Glory.
Anybody know he's a winner?
Yes.
Anybody know he's a winner?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God the glory.
Revive.
God, we need you to revive us. I'm going to do it again, Aaron. Hallelujah. Thine the glory.
body, and see you have won. You did it again, over and over, time after time. I could see my way out with you. Yeah. He's Jesus all by himself, y'all. I'm getting excited thinking about your goodness, how you keep on making a way for me.